from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, April the 1st, 1994. Spring family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook, Tulsa, Oklahoma, speaker of the evening.
Come on, Brother Tommy.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise you. Father, we thank you for your anointing to rest.
Yes, Lord.
It does rest over Brother Tommy. Thank you for the word of the Lord, Father, that he will bring to us tonight.
Yes.
May we, Father, learn and desire to know, to hide it in our heart, then, that we may walk before you in that place of righteousness and holiness that you have called us to. And Father, may that be the desire of every heart here. We pray your blessing and anointing now over the congregation as they receive. Amen.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God. We worship you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together tonight. We thank you for that which we've heard last night and today. And Lord, we thank you for the deliverance, the healings. We thank you for your mercy tonight. We submit to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we ask that you would help us tonight, Lord, share this word. Lord, quicken us together, we pray. Quicken us according to your word. Encourage the people tonight. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. How many are glad you got to come to the camp meeting? How many had a warfare getting here? How many didn't have any problems at all? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Obadiah, that real easy scripture over there. Obadiah. So David snuck in back there, did he? How you doing, David? Good. Praise the Lord. Obadiah. Obadiah, and we want to look at verse 17. How many believe we're living in perilous times? And that word perilous, 2 Timothy 3:1, Sister Tilly didn't know it, but God already gave me that scripture tonight, that in the last days or last times, perilous times shall come. And that word perilous means dangerous times. It means savage times. It means furious times. It means fierce times, difficult times. Now hold your place in Obadiah and turn to Matthew 8. And I want to show you this word in the New Testament about perilous times. Same word. And I want to go to Matthew 8:28. I believe it is. And it says, and when he, that's Jesus, was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Well, how many know if there's two people possessed with devils, it's perilous times. Come on. In the home, the church, or wherever. Coming out of the tombs, exceedingly what? Fierce. Now, there's your word for perilous times. Exceeding fierce. So, perilous times means demonic times. So that no man might pass that way. But how many know Jesus, it didn't shake him up a bit. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, notice, the demons are crying out, Jesus, have you come to torment us? And yet they torment people. How many know they are tormented once they're cast out? They walk through dark places. I believe we're living in perilous times. How about you? Now hold your place there in Obadiah. Go to Revelation. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. How many believe the seals are being loosed? It's not something in the future. It is something happening now. Just as the trumpets are sounding, God's using his people to sound the trumpet, and God uses his people even concerning the seals, the mysteries of God. But we know the Lamb's doing this, and he's doing it through a people. But in Revelation 6, the white horse goes first. Let me know the white horse is not Antichrist. How many's ever taught white horse is Antichrist? Well, let me tell you, it's not Antichrist. It is Christ. The white horse is the gospel of Jesus Christ going first. There is one power and only one power that can conquer, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that white horse goes first. How many know Jesus said, devil, get behind me. Literally, follow behind me. I'm going first. I'll allow you to come behind me. And this white horse is going first. But it is not Antichrist. It is the Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then what follows the white horse is the red horse, which is war, blood, communism, and so forth. Then the black horse speaks of famine. It speaks of a lot of other things as well. But come on down to verse in chapter 6. Come down to verse 8. Here is the fourth horse, the pale horse, literally a greenish or green horse. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. How many know that death's in the land tonight? Death's in the church. Come on, death's in the home. Men are taken out before their time. Do you know people can die prematurely? But if we judge ourselves, the Bible said, we'll not be judged. And because there were those who did not judge themselves, they were weak, they were sick, and some had died prematurely. Now he says here that when this pale horse goes forth, his name is Death, and hell followed him. I mean, no, death and hell is going to be cast in the lake of fire, the Bible says in Revelation. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now notice, to kill with sword, that's war, with hunger, that's famine, and with death, and notice, with the beast of the earth. I mean, no, we're not talking about little puppy dogs and tigers. We're talking about bestial powers. We're talking about powers of darkness that's been let loose against humanity to destroy humanity in this end time. But how many know somebody's got to stand in the gap and make up the heads for others? Are you hearing me? And so, I'm telling you, these horses are not in the future. It's happening now. People are dying now. There are troops, companies, sent throughout the earth to kill, maul, and destroy humanity. And it's happening right now. It's happening in America. It's happening around the world. But how many know America's leading, almost leading the pack when it comes to murder and destruction? Because there's a curse on America, like Glenn said today, because of abortion, because we've killed innocent blood. Can you hear that? Amen. Now, turn to Obadiah. In Obadiah, God tells us something here. He tells us in verse 17 that upon... I better stay over by the mic. I forgot I don't have that little one on. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. How many want to come to Mount Zion? Now you have Israel, within Israel is Jerusalem, and within Jerusalem is Zion. Now God, we are the Israel of God, Galatians 6 tells us. Revelation 21 tells us that we are the bride, the Jerusalem people. But God is raising up a Zion people, His overcomers, the sons of God. Now how many want to be a son? I know many people say they're sons, but let me tell you, none of us are full-grown sons. How many want to be a full-grown son? Sure you do. Amen. How many know that the first realm, the Israel of God, we received Jesus by the blood, and that was by grace and grace only. Can you say amen? And then we received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that was a gift as well. But now to come on into Zion, how many know that something has to be attained? We have been apprehended, and yet we must apprehend, and we must overcome. Are you hearing me? Now to enter to Zion, the Zion company, or into that Zion realm, how many know it's going to cost us everything? Yeah. That's our life. We're going to have to lay our life down. Now here it said, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. So if you're going to come to Zion, you're going to see some deliverance. Amen. And that means if you don't believe in deliverance, God's deliverance, how many know you'll never make it to Zion? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And notice what else? There shall be holiness. And I believe that deliverance will help bring you into holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. I mean, no, it's not enough just to know these things. We've got to enter, we've got to conquer, and we've got to possess. And it's got to be experimental. Now, look down to verse 21. And saviors, the word saviors means deliverers, same word, as we say in 17, shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. How many know that Esau was Edom? Esau was the brother of Jacob. He was a twin brother. And how many know that Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of beans, whatever, porridge or whatever it was? How many know people can sell their birthright? Amen? You know one way you lose your birthright, if you're not careful, Reuben did, by getting into uncleanness. Are you hearing me? And we know that Esau lost it because he sold out his birthright for just for food. Esau's a picture of the flesh. How many know that his grandson's Amalek? You know, God sent the manna. Listen to this. God sent the manna over in the Old Testament to Israel. And it came down from heaven. And that manna represents Jesus. How many know that he was the manna that came down from heaven? He was the incarnation. He was God manifest, come on, in the flesh. And then it says that they were thirsty and that rock was smitten. How many know that rock was smitten? Who is Jesus? And yet, when that rock was smitten, Moses smote that rock. What happened? Water came out of that rock. How many know out of Calvary there is a flowing fountain? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. And without that, there would be no Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And so, Jesus is the manna. He is the rock that was smitten. And now that rock, the water begins to flow. And then immediately the Bible said, Amalek came out against Israel to stop them from entering their inheritance in the rest of God. And God says to them, when you get into the land, when you get into that place of rest, He said, you do Amalek in. Hallelujah. Amen. Because, you know what Amalek did? They came against Israel when they were faint and weary, and Amalek came from the rear and hit them. And God said, don't you forget it. Let's look at this. Hold your place in Obadiah, by the way. Go to Exodus. Sir? Oh, bushwhackers. Okay. Yeah, bushwhackers. Okay, look here in, look in chapter 17. Chapter 17. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, the one that's going to take over Moses' place. This is Exodus 17:14. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now Amalek represents the flesh. Let me know that our flesh, we have a war daily with our flesh. Amen. You'll never go a day without having to battle your flesh unless you totally get in the Spirit with God. How many know once you're in the Spirit, how many know there's no... If you're walking in the Spirit, how many know that you've overcome the flesh?
Amen.
Come on. But it's when we get out of the Spirit that we have our problems. Isn't that right? Now look at verse 16. He said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with who? Amalek from generation... the generation. Now, here's what the Amplified says. Because theirs is a hand against the throne of the Lord. Let me tell you, Amalek hates the throne of God. Amalek hates government, God's authority, and God's rule. Amalek hates God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus, and the overcomer who's going to sit on that throne with Jesus. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. And so back in Obadiah, it says that these saviors, these deliverers, are going to come upon Mount Zion. And it says in verse 21, saviors shall come upon the Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau or the flesh, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Hallelujah. The kingdom is the Lord. Well, how many know He is the kingdom and He's bringing forth the kingdom people? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, look in Psalms 48. Two scriptures here. There is a battle for Zion. Psalms 48. And I haven't touched this word hardly since I left. I shared at David's fellowship in Illinois, and I touched on this, but I haven't touched it since then. But in Psalms 48, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. We saw that those sons were coming up on Mount Zion for His deliverance and holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Did you hear that? The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mount Zion is going to bring joy to the earth.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you.
And He said, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north?
Yes. Amen.
The city of the great King.
Yes.
Our King dwells in Zion. And He is the great King, and He's living in the city. Now, how many know we're the city?
Amen.
Jesus said we're like a city set on a hill, come on, that cannot be hid. John saw that city coming down, not going up. Come on. It was coming down, that city. How many know we live in the heavenlies?
Hallelujah.
Glory. And He saw that city, that bride, that Lamb's wife coming down. Hallelujah. And so He said, it's the joy of the whole earth is this Mount Zion. The sigh on the, and it says, notice, on the sides of the north. Now look in Isaiah 14. Look in Isaiah 14 and look at verses, let's see here. Praise the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 12. Here it speaks of Lucifer. But how many know the word is Helia? Helia. You ever looked it up in the Hebrew? Huh? Lucifer is a Latin word. Look up the word Heliel in the Hebrew. How many know it's Gabriel, Michael, and Heliel? How many know that? Well, look it up. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will, notice the five I wills, ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above what? The stars of God. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation where? In the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He'll never make it. He'll never sit there. He'll never be above the stars, the sons of God. And He'll never make it to the sides of the north. He'll never make it above the clouds. And He'll never be like the Most High. But God said in verse 15, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. How many believe He's going to? We showed last night He was coming down. We said last night, God's going to bring the terrible, the strangers upon this one. He's going to put hooks in his jaws. Remember that? He's going to bring him up into the net. There's going to be a network of people that's going to put him in God's net. There's going to be a chain of praise and an angel with a great chain. Going to wrap him up, put him in the pit, and then the lake of fire. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's going to do it. Now look in 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5. Look at verse 1. Now, what we have to see here is this. David was anointed three times here in the Scriptures. The first anointing is the anointing of promise. God gives him the promise to be king. And yet David is being hunted, and he's hiding in the cave of Adullam with others. And he's really fleeing for his life. But how many know in God's sight he's going to be the king?
Amen.
He's going to sit on the throne and rule. How many want to go to the throne tonight?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be tested to the hilt. How many know Joseph took the throne and he was stripped three times? He was stripped by his half-brethren and threw in the pit. He was stripped by the woman who claimed he committed adultery, which he did not. And then he was stripped from his prison garments and he took the throne. Hallelujah. And David, a man of God, sat on the throne. But how many know David was tested? Oh, yes. And if you're going to be an overcomer and you're going to sit on the throne and rule and reign, how many know we have to be tested? Now, it says here, as I said, there were three anointings. The anointing of promise. Then there was the anointing of praise. He was king over Judah 7.5 years. And then he becomes king finally over all Israel in chapter 2 Samuel 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron. Hebron means fellowship. And spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. I mean, no, we're of his bone and his flesh tonight. Now, also in times past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. David is a picture of Jesus. Jesus, Hebrews says, is our captain. So the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And notice, they anointed David king over Israel. Now the word anointing means this. It means to pour on, it means to smear on, and it means to rub in. Hallelujah. How many know God needs to rub it into us? Come on. And David was 30 years old. How many know, how was Jesus when he started his ministry? How was David when he started his ministry? How old did you have to be a priest? 30. 30 represents sonship. You know, the ark was, part of the dimensions was 30 cubits in the ark. Hallelujah. Along with some others. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. Now, notice in verses 6. It said, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. Now, the Jebusites, I see a spirit of mockery in the Jebusites. How many know there's mockery in the land? Now, Glenn referred to it this morning with wine. How many know wine brings mockery and rage and all those things? But there is a spirit of mockery, and with that comes blasphemy, cursing. And I see a spirit of mockery in the Jebusites along with many other things. I see a spirit of ridicule. How many know there are those that ridicule you for your faith in Jesus? Then there are those who, it also means inferior. And there are those who want to put you down and make you feel like you are inferior. I want to tell you something. You don't have to take a back seat to the world. We belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody say amen. He's driving the bus. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so, the enemy wants to mock it, to ridicule and to make us inferior. Now, it says in verse 6, the king and his men went to Jerusalem to the Jebusites, and the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking, how many know that's our problem, our stinking thinking? Thinking, David cannot come in hither. Well, that's like telling a Mack truck it can't, you know, it can't come in this building if it wants to. How many know it crashed right in? Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of what? Zion. I want you to notice the Jebusites had Zion. And David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. David took over the government, the authority, and the rulership, and the throne, for the law of God went forth. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And David took Zion. Now, not everybody is going to Zion. Not everybody is able to conquer Zion. Now look in Judges. Judges. Hallelujah. Chapter 1. and verse 21. Judges 1:21, we see a people here that could not conquer the Jebusites. And the children of Benjamin, son of the right hand, is what Benjamin means. These are sons, we would say today. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. They cohabit. Well, how many know when you go into war, you know the enemy, he's always going to buck up? How many know some people just lay down they don't want to fight? But if you're going to go to Zion, how many know you've got to fight in the Spirit? Not against people now, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in the heavens. And Zion was the highest pinnacle, which represents the heavens. And yet Benjamin would not fight against the Jebusites and kick them out. They cohabited with them. They lived with their enemy instead of fighting the enemy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look down to verse 29 just a minute. We'll see another case here. Look in verse 29. Neither did Ephraim. Ephraim means double fruit. Drive out the Canaanites. How many know that's the peddlers, that's the traffickers, that's the money people. I'm like Glenn, man, I tell you, I'm about ready to make war on some spirits because of this money stuff, the way it goes across the land. And God, Jesus was upset not only those who sold, but those who bought. Are you hearing me? And I want to tell you something, brother. We better watch where we put our money. We better know the Holy Ghost is telling us to put our money in the right place. And we better give Him faith and under the direction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not going to put my money in anything that's not the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? And those beggars and pleaders, they're not going to get my money by the grace of God. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. No way. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Again, they cohabited. They would not drive out those things. Let me tell you what's going to happen to the Canaanites. Turn over just a minute to Zechariah. Hallelujah. If I'd get on this money thing, you guys probably all run me out. I really got on it and bear it down. Somebody's going to have to bear down on it, like Glenn said. Because it's not right. Let me tell you something. When God tells us to go on radio, television, or whatever He tells us to do, let me tell you, He'll supply the money without begging. If God don't supply, shut it down and go on and do something else. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 21. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holders to the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them seed therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite where? And that word Canaanite literally means the merchandiser, the trafficker, the peddler. And God said He's going to cut them off from the house of the Lord. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see that David took the strongholds of Zion. And he destroyed the Jebusites, praise God. Those who mock, those who ridicule, those who would make you feel inferior, hallelujah. And, of course, they said to David, you shall not come in here. Literally, Martin says, you shall never win. Well, how many know it's a lion spirit? There's a lion spirit that says you'll never win. You know, there's another lion spirit that says this, the crooked shall never be made straight. And that's in the Ecclesiastes. But Isaiah said the crooked shall be made straight. One's in the flesh speaking, one's in the spirit speaking. I mean, you read Ecclesiastes, you've got to be careful how you interpret that book, because I'll tell you there, you see a beast in that man, Solomon. I mean, God gave him great wisdom. But when you marry 1,100 women, how many know you become a beast overnight? You sure can't remember all their names. And I know I didn't send them birthday cards every time. Come on. Hallelujah. And yet he said the crooked cannot be made straight. And yet Isaiah 40 said the crooked can be made straight. I don't care what you're in. Listen, God can deliver you and set you free wherever you are. Our problem, again, is our stinking thing, and it's right here between our ears. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, so we see the strongholds were broken by that anointing. So it took that third anointing of David being anointed by God to go on and destroy the Jebusites. Praise God. Now, you know, David, under the first anointing, he ministered back to King Saul. Then you know what else he did? He took care of his sheep. I mean, we get saved, feel the Holy Ghost, and we think we're ready to run out there and minister. And a lot of people do and get hurt. You know that? David first ministered back to King Saul. That was a wicked king, of course, later. I mean, our first obligation is to minister to our king. And then he ministered back to the sheep, or went back to his occupation. Don't leave your job unless you know the Holy Ghost is speaking. We got all kind of people floating around, you know, saying God told them to leave a job, and man, they suffer. Their family suffers. Come on, somebody say amen. And then David did something else. He came under, or something else happened. He came under persecution from his brethren because he took a stand. Are you hearing me? And then something else happened. He killed one giant. He had five little rocks in his slingshot. And he killed the giants. And then he went into the wilderness. Now, that's under the first anointing. Now, and when that third anointing came upon David, it said all the Philistines came upon him. And the Philistines are those who roll in the dust or the dirt. That's what it means. And how many know he destroyed the Philistines? And he did what God told him. Under that third anointing, he could not do what he wanted to do. He listened to the Holy Ghost. Come on. How many know we're going to get in trouble if we're going to do what we're going to do? We've got to listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Our problem is we know how to do it so much in the natural, that's what we do. I mean, you know, even in deliverance, come on, healing, any way we minister, we've got to listen to the Holy Ghost if we're going to be effective. I believe in deliverance, but it's got to be by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can't be just some fleshly thing. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Now, the word Jebusite literally means trodden under. Trodden under is what it means. And there's an enemy that wants to trod you and I under. Wants to put us down. He wants to step on us. For God said Satan must be bruised shortly under our feet. And he said, I give you power to tread on serpents. Come on, and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what God says to us. He means what he says. Can you say amen? So yes, we are the Israel of God. God's bringing the people into the Jerusalem of God, the bride of Christ, and yet out of that bride will be the sons of God, the overcomers. I mean, we're part of the bride, and we're part of the church as well. I mean, they're all important. Are you hearing me? We need one another. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now go over to Acts 8 just a minute. Acts 8, and let me give you some scriptures here. In Acts 8, look at verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and notice, bewitched the people of Samaria. They were under this man's spell. They were under mind control, the spirit of sorcery, giving out that himself was some great one. How many know we've got to be careful when people begin to exalt themselves? Are you hearing me? Let me tell you five things right quick that you got to be aware of. Number one, beware and do not allow the enemy. Now I'm going to tell you five strong things right here you need to know. The Holy Ghost is given to me right here. I wrote it down, but he's reminding me. Beware and do not allow the enemy to seduce you into passivity. You know what that means? He wants to get you out of action, to put you in la-la land, to put you in the neutral position where there's no responsibility. He wants to knock you out of activity. Come on. Inactivity. Number two, beware of those who call for your mind to be brought into total subjection to them and to some group. Who can say amen to that? Think of David Koresh, Jim Jones. It's mind control. And three, be careful who counsels you And me too. Because the conversation can shift to the counselor, how wise he or she is, and how wonderful they are, and I get all my answers from my counselor. Well, what if they go out of town or go on vacation? You got a problem. What if they move? And number four, how many know there's safety in the multitude of counselors? Number four, beware of those who teach the leader alone can hear the voice of God. Now, how many know leaders do hear the voice of God many times? Huh? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Come on. And another, they'll not follow. But how many know there's a difference in lambs and sheep? Thank God for leaders who do hear. But I want to tell you, leaders don't always hear correctly either sometimes. Amen? Now, how many know if we do hear, or the leaders do hear, it must be confirmed, come on, in the mouth of two or three witnesses many times. Isn't that right? And if you've heard from God, you need to go to some godly leaders sometimes to make sure. You know? Now, how many know that if we have words for people, we don't just take them out here in the corner and give them a word? Come on, it's out in the open. That corner stuff's over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, there's some people that the enemy speaks to, and they think it's God. And we need some real discernment today. Amen? If we're expecting the leader to hear every time, how many know, what if the leader falls from grace? Huh? You know, who's going to hear God for you then? Number five, here's the last one. Beware of those who seek to control the private lives of the people in all details of that private life. That is control. I mean, no, people want to denominate us, dominate us, indoctrinate us, and isolate us. And they'll do it if we let them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I wrote five other things. You want to hear these?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Number one, we must follow those. Listen to this now. We must follow those who do not reach for authority. But we follow those who reach for responsibility. And out of responsibility will flow authority. There's a difference. 3 John, you read 3 John, there's two men right there. How many know of what I'm talking about? 3 John, you know that scripture? Let's look at it. Turn over there. We'll come back here in just a minute. I'll give these others. 3 John, I want to show you two men right here. One to be aware of, one to listen to. 3 John, verse 9. I wrote unto the church. I mean, thank God for the church.
Amen.
Amen. But Diotrephes. Diotrephes. And his name has something to do with Jupiter. The planet Jupiter. I forget what it means now. Something about Jupiter. Who loveth to have the preeminence among them, notice, receiveth us not. Now, notice here. Here's one who wants to be exalted. He wants to be first. He wants the preeminent position. He wants the prominent place. And yet he's against those traveling ministries coming through the local churches. Well, how many know there's a lot of local churches against traveling ministries? Are you hearing me? That's why I go outside of a lot of them to have my own meetings at times. Because a lot of them will close the doors to ministry. Verse 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, notice that, and not content. You know what contentment means? It means you have an inward sufficiency. This man didn't have it. Speaking against the ministries, the people of God, maliciously and not content. There, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and notice, forbiddeth them that would. Now, the people that would receive the brethren, he says, hey, you can't, don't you receive those apostles, don't you receive those prophets, don't you, those coming through the church. You don't receive them. How many know that's total control? That is Nicolaitan, and God hates it. How many hate that spirit? Now listen to what he says. He said, beloved, but then it says he cast them out of the church. He cast out those that would receive the ministers. He cast them out. Well, thank God. I'd rather be outside the church anyway. Verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Did you hear what God said? Don't follow that kind of thing. If you're under it, don't get out from under it. Move on down the road somewhere where God will lead you. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now look at verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And you know that our record, our witness, is true. So what he's saying is don't follow Diotrephes, Demetrius, because this man had a good report of all men and even of the truth itself. Hallelujah. We better know who we're sitting under. Are you hearing me today? Amen. Now, number two? Number two, do not follow those who scatter the sheep, but gather the sheep. Do not follow those that scatter the sheep, but gather the sheep. Number three, I could give you a scripture on all this, but I won't. Number three, do not follow those who drive the sheep, but lead the sheep. God never called anybody to drive anybody. Number four, we must follow those who feed the flock, not fleece the flock. How many's ever been fleeced? How many learned your lesson? Good. And here's another one I just wrote down. I don't follow those that rule by force and cruelty. That's Ezekiel 34. Now, here's another one. We must not follow those who lay claim to the sheep as their own. We must follow those who lay claim to Jesus owning the sheep because they are His. How many heard me tonight? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Now, Acts chapter 8. Here's a people under mind control, under a spell, sorcery, the occult. And it said that this man, in verse 9, used sorcery in the city of Samaria. And notice what he did. He bewitched the people of Samaria. Now, these were people who were not saved. But just turn over to Galatians 3 a minute. And I preached this message here in Galatians in our fellowship about a month before I could get through it. I think they was really glad I got through Galatians 3. But in Galatians 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians. Another translation says, O beloved idiots. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? What spell did you come under? Notice the word witch is in there. How many know there are witches and wizards in the land and in the church? Jane was talking about the Queen of Heaven tonight. One time the Lord woke me up and He spoke to me in the night, talked to me about Jezebel. He said, it is the Queen of Heaven, it is the worship of Mary, it is Diana of the Ephesians, and it is the harlot church. He told me that in the night time. And so I wrote a book back there called Jezebel. How many know Jezebel's in the land? Huh? So is Ahab. Now, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey, come on, the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive your spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun. Do you know anybody that one time began in the spirit? We're no longer walking with God.
Yeah.
or who are going through the motions and not in the Spirit any longer?
Amen.
Well, how many know we can allow that to happen to ourselves? We can be bewitched. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now back to Acts 8. So here's a man that's bewitching this whole city, giving out that he is some great one. Now I want you to notice, he's exalting himself. He wants that preeminence again. Verse 10, to whom all gave he, from the least to the greatest. But yet Hebrews said, those least to the greatest will know him. Hallelujah. Saying, this man is the great power of God. Now I want you to notice, they were deceived, thinking this man had the power of God. It was the power of the devil. Isn't that something? And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, look back down with me to verses 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing something. What did they hear and see? Miracles. Now, we hear a lot about miracles on television, but I don't see a lot of devils cast out on television. Somebody shout amen. Huh? They talk about miracles, you know, finances, and a miracle for this, a miracle for that, and thank God for that. But hey, these are miracles here. What were the miracles? For unclean spirits crying with loud voice. How many know if you sit under Jezebel, those devils are imparted, and usually when they come out, they'll come out screaming. The witch spirit. Many times. Not, I'm not saying all the time, but many times. Come on. They came out of many that was possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy where? In that city. Well, isn't there some joy that came when you get delivered? In your home or in the church, wherever. Amen. It's joy just to see somebody get set free sitting next to you, isn't it? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Jesus rejoiced when the 70 come back, didn't he? We saw that last night. Now here's what I want to ask you. How many got delivered? Once you accepted Jesus, how many come and laid hands on you or prayed for you to be delivered from demons at that moment? Huh? Nobody raise your hand. I can't raise mine. Nobody prayed for me. I accepted Jesus as a young boy. Later, I got away from God, but I came back later in 50, after I got out of the army. But nobody prayed about devils being cast out of me. But later down in life, I found out I had some devils, need some devils cast out. Anybody had that problem? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, but how many thank God for our deliverance? But how many know it's not all the ball of wax? It's part of the kingdom. Healing, come on, healing's part of the kingdom. Baptism, Holy Ghost, everything that God does, you know, we need it in order to grow and develop in God. Thank God. How many know that God has a balance, doesn't it? Amen. We all need to be balanced. But thank God, part of it is deliverance. And you know Jesus ministered deliverance wherever he went. And it says he ministered in the synagogues. And he went throughout all Galilee casting out demons. Right in the church house. Hallelujah. How many old devils go to church? How many ever met any? Come on. You ever met in the church? My. I've met a lot of them. Some of them leave on their own, too. Not the devils leaving, it's the people leaving. Okay, look in Mark 9. Mark 6. Mark 6. But I thank God for the ministry of deliverance. In Mark 6, verse 12, and they went out, the apostles. Now, this is before Jesus died. They went out and preached that men should repent. Well, how many know that we ought to preach that men should repent? Whether an apostle or nothing. And they cast out many devils. Notice that. Now, who did the devils come out? Out of those that repented. Those that repented got devils cast out of them right at that time. And anointed, notice, with oil many that were sick and healed them. So they repented, they were delivered, and they were healed. Let me know, that's God's order. What did he say in Mark 16? These signs shall follow them that what? In my name they shall what? Cast out devils. What else? Speak with new tongues. Come on. And later he said they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now he's talking about believers, isn't it? Those that have repented. Amen. Now look in Mark 9. Mark 9. We see the miracle here again of deliverance. Verse 38. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and he followeth not us. He's not in our group. He doesn't have papers with us. And we forbade him. Well, how many know it can happen today? You try to go in some of these churches and cast out devils. See if they don't forbid you. Come on, don't shout me down. Because he followeth not us, Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle. We're talking about deliverance right now. In my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now look at Acts 19. Acts 19. Thank you, Lord. And look at verse 11. 11. Hallelujah. Look back to verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God used Paul mightily. Hallelujah. How many know that every church needs three things? Strong worship, strong word, strong evangelism, or strong work. Now, in our worship, we minister unto Him. Hallelujah. In the Word, we minister Him. And evangelism, or in the work of God, we minister with Him. We are workers together with Jesus. Can you say amen? You see that in Mark chapter 16, verse 21. Now, it says in verse 11, and God wrought special miracles, extraordinary miracles, by the hands of Paul. Hallelujah. Well, how many know God wants to move in 1994 too?
Amen.
By miracles. What were the miracles? Let's see. So that from his body were brought to the sick, notice, not what's these little things you bind the boxes to clean your nose with? Kleenex. Not Kleenexes. You got to come the Bible with. Come on. Handkerchiefs or aprons, and notice the diseases departed from them, and something else happened. Evil spirits, come on, went out of them. Amen? That was the miracles. Hallelujah. Spirits went out. And when the spirits went out, how many know the diseases left the people? Praise God. We need that ministry of deliverance. Now look in Acts 19. Look in Acts 19 here. While we're here, it says in verse 18, God requires something of us as believers, doesn't he? Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. I mean, this is magical powers. They were in the occult. Brought their books together, burned them before all men. Did you hear that? All before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God. Now look at that little word, curious arts. Now maybe you're not involved with any kind of magic or magical powers. But let me show you what else it means. Turn over to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. And look at verse 13, please. And it says in verse 13, let's go back to verse 11, but the younger women refused, For when they begin to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation or condemnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers, and also what else? There's your word for curious hearts. Busy bodies. Speaking things which they ought not. We may not be involved with magic, but we might become a busy body if we're not careful. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many know there is the spirit of discord, busybodiness, whispering, slander, and accusation that we can fall into if we're not careful? How many know we need deliverance from our what we say? How many know the prophet Isaiah, he kept throwing out those woes in chapter 5 and finally caught up with him. He said, woe is me. Come on. Huh? I mean, know that we all need the coal of fire to touch our tongues tonight. You and me both. Amen? Now turn to Leviticus 26. A couple more things here. Glenn said I could have an hour and a half. But I won't wear you out tonight. How long been going anyway? Okay, thank you, Tilly. Chapter 26. Look in verse 1. The Lord said, you shall make you no idols, nor graven image. Now, I think Doctor Day talked about, I believe it's Doctor, somebody talked, or maybe Glenn, talked about Buddhas and different things we have in our homes. But how many know we can have idols right here? You can destroy that old Buddha or whatever you got in your home, but how many know you got to do some warfare to get rid of it here? Neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land. This is the land here tonight. To bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. How many know that we're bought with a price? And we must glorify God in our body and in our spirits, which are His. I am the Lord, He says. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield her fruit, and your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. There'll be peace in your land. How many want peace in your land tonight? I've been in that state where there was torment. I've been in that state where there was conflict, and I don't like that. How about you? Verse 6. Now listen to what God says. I will give peace in the land. He is our peace tonight. You shall lie down. None shall make you afraid. There'll be no fear. I mean, no perfect love casts out all fear. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. That's deliverance. And notice, they're evil beasts. Hallelujah. How many know that the abortion that's in the land today has been caused by evil beasts? The spirit of Moloch. Neither shall you, notice, neither shall the sword which is war go through your land. When others are in warfare or in war in themselves, God said, I'll give you peace. If you will not allow these idols in your land, if you'll not bow down to these idols. Now, look at verse 7. And you shall chase your enemies. What a switch. How many want to chase your enemies? And they shall fall before you by the sword, the word of God. 5 of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. They're running from you. Now look at verse 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you. How many know He's dwelling among us tonight? And my soul shall not abhor or reject you, and I will walk among you. Come on. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Verse 10. Notice verse 10. You shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Literally, God is really saying, if you look at the translations, that we'll do, He'll take out the old in order to bring forth the new. And that's delivered. Amen? Hallelujah. Now look at verse 22. What the Lord says. If we walk contrary to Him in verse 21, I'll bring 7 more times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I mean, Jesus said when the demons cast out, He brings 7 others back with Him. Isn't that right? How can 2 walk together except they be... And God said, if you walk contrary, that's what's going to happen. 7 times more plagues. Verse 22, I will send wild beasts. Here's the troops now. Here are the troops among you, which shall rob you of your children. What's happened in America? We've been robbed. Destroy your cattle. Make your few a number. Your highway shall be desolate, and so forth. And God talked about those seven times on down in the scriptures here. Notice, and you know God is what God does. Let me tell you what God does to a nation. Look in verse 24, or verse 25. He brings a sword. That's war. Verse 25, he brings pestilence. That's plagues and diseases and moraines. And verse 26, he breaks the staff of bread in a land. And I could show you many scriptures on that. That's just not here. There's many more where he's hitting a nation with a sword or war. Look at Bosnia. The sword, the pestilence, the bread. Amen. So, we don't want the wild beasts to rob us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants us to come up to Mount Zion. Turn to Revelation. I'll close with this now. 14. Here's the people he's talking about right here. I believe. This is God's goal. It's the blindest design. And let's see who is on Mount Zion. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood. He's not sitting here. He's standing. Remember when he stood up when Stephen died? Remember that? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to preach on it. But a lot of these overcomers are going to die. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, or Zion. And with him 144,000, notice, having his father's name or nature written in their foreheads, the mind of Christ. And that's not a literal number, it's a symbolical number. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts, before the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. There's so much I could go into and teach in this chapter, but I'm just touching it. And these are they which are not defiled with women. That's the harlot church. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb with us wherever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being something. The first fruits. They mature first unto God and to the Lamb. But how many of you were mature first? There's much more responsibility upon you. Amen. Amen. And then what does he say in chapter 14? Right on down in verse 8, Babylon has fallen. I mean, the political system, the religious system, and the economic system is going to collapse. It's going to fall. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I want to get rid of those things that you don't need tonight. Let's stand. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Let's pray together here a short prayer before we go. If you will, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. Sanctify us. Cleanse us. Deliver us from every evil power. We thank you for your delivering power. Thank you for what you did yesterday. And for that today, and what you're going to do tomorrow. Father God, forgive us for all rebellion. I come against the spirit of rebellion, spirit of bitterness, spirit of rejection. You loose me now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and let her go now. All rebellion, bitterness, rejection, come out in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of witchcraft as well, the spirit of witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, loose the people of God. Loose them in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath. Let it go. If anybody gets dizzy, come against witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of witchcraft, rebellion, rejection, and bitterness in the name of Jesus. That word rebellion, where it says rebellion, is that the sin of witchcraft, it means bitterness over in 1 Samuel 15:23. Now, let's pray again. Father God, I come against the spirit of mockery, ridicule, feeling inferior, lying spirits, doubts, hopelessness, being a busybody, gossiper, whispering, accusation, slandering, discord. Forgive me, Lord. Set a watch over my tongue. I loose myself from these wicked things. Lord Jesus, set me free. Take a deep breath and let them go. In Jesus' name. Come on, all busybodiness, gossiping, whispering, accusation, slandering, discord. Loose the people here. Loose them in Jesus' name. All of it. All of it. In Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of confusion, antichrist spirits, and the beast spirits. Loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious, precious, precious name. Hallelujah. Lord, lead us to Zion. Lead us to Zion. That's the place of rest. God said, where's the place of my rest? Psalms 135 tells us that it's Zion. God is resting in his habitation, his sanctuary. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise him tonight. Let's love the Lord. Come on, raise your hands. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Help us. Fill us. Fill us, Lord. Set us free in these areas, Lord, where we're lacking, God. Fill up the void. Fill up those areas, Lord, that where people have emptied out. My Jesus. My Jesus. My Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Glenn, the Lord said he wants to encourage you tonight. And he's reaching his encouraging hand out to you because he loves you with a great love. And he has seen your obedience. He's seen your heart. And he's seen the turmoil. And he's seen the trials and the tribulations and the things that's come against you. But God said you have stayed faithful. You have stood in the gap and made up the hedge. Yea, for many, saith the Lord. And God is reaching out to you this night. Because God has given you eyesight, he has given you ear to hear, and he's given you a heart to understand. And God said, I put the belt and the girdle of truth upon you. So my son, walk softly before me, and know that there are many rewards in store for you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Glory! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, God's not looking at numbers. He's looking at our faithfulness and our obedience to him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we love you and appreciate you. I'll turn it. You want it back? Praise God. I want Brother Holland to come and dismiss us. Brother Holland, where are you at? Come up here and dismiss us, brother. Praise the Lord. If anybody needs prayer afterwards, just come up and we'll pray for you. And we love you and appreciate you. Be back tomorrow. Have a great day tomorrow in the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we praise you.
Yes.
For the word we've received tonight. Stir up our hearts, Lord, with this word. Help us to pray and read your word and study it, meditate on it.
Yes, Lord.
And feed on it.
Yes.
Father, we just praise you for Brother Tommy and the message you have sent through him. And Father, we thank you for this camp.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for each hungry person that's here. Feed them, Lord.
Yes.
Bless them in every way. And Father, we just love you and praise you for what you're doing.
Yes.
We love you, Father. We adore you. Oh, Father, we just praise you and love you tonight.
Yes.
Oh, Rakoshomana Katiabatamanana Kati.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just praise you. Let's praise him.
Yes.
Let's praise him.
Hallelujah.
God wants us to praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him. Worship him. Tell him you love him. Open up your heart.
Hallelujah.
Tell him you love him. He loves you. He loves you. He gave his son for you. Just love him back. Love him back. Oh,
I have been asked to add my talk about the Queen of Heaven, which I spoke about prior to Tommy's teaching. And also, I left out one thing in Jeremiah 7:18, where the women made cakes. That was the first hot cross buns that were made to the Queen of Heaven. And those were way back in Babylon, hundreds of years before the Catholic Church incorporated it into the Easter so-called ceremony, which we consider as Passover. I'm going to take about 10 more minutes away from Tommy, and I'm going to shake some of you up a little bit, which I think is good. And before we're out of here Sunday, I'll probably do it a couple of more times.
But in Ezekiel chapter 8, I want to read a verse to you. You'll find Ezekiel, it falls after Jeremiah and Lamentations. And where does it come? What's on the other side of it? Daniel. Daniel. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about for a few minutes here, is in relation to the word Easter. And we're going to talk more about this time of the year and what this means to us before we leave here this weekend. But in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 14, it says that the angel of the Lord brought Ezekiel to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Do you know who Tammuz was? Do you know why they sat weeping for her, for Tammuz? They were Tammuz is the son of the daughter of Nimrod, of the wife of Nimrod. He is Nimrod's son, or history tells us that he was an illegitimate child. They're sitting here weeping for Tammuz. Before the temple of the Lord, they're doing this. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7 and read a couple of verses there. Jeremiah 7. And you'll find some of what I'm telling you here tonight. You'll find some of it in Mystery Babylon, and in Two Babylons, you will find a whole lot of it. But in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 17, it says, again, the Lord has brought Jeremiah, and he says, "Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger." And let's go to Jeremiah 44 and read a couple of verses in Jeremiah 44, starting with verse 15. "Then all the men which knew, that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, entered Jeremiah, saying..." Now, this is after God had delivered them, and they went down to Egypt, and were down there. And the women stood by a great multitude, and they were in Pathros, and they answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee." So they have rebelled against the word of the Lord from Jeremiah. But they said, "But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes, in the streets of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off the burning of incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men." They were in rebellion against the things of the Lord. So they are pouring out incense to the Queen of Heaven, and they've gathered wood to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Now, Mary is called the Queen of Heaven by the Catholic Church and by the Greek Orthodox Church and some others. She's called the Queen of Heaven. But the Queen of Heaven existed in the time of Nimrod in Babylon. Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, was known as the Queen of Heaven. And she is who they were worshiping here as the Queen of Heaven. And Semiramis There's another name that she's known by also, Esther. Esther, Samaritanus, is the same thing. It's where the word Easter comes from. And the word Easter means the worship of Nimrod's wife. And the word Easter is an abomination to God. And the word Easter is in the scripture, but it is not in the original. It has been inserted in there by man. It is not, the word Passover is what's in the original, where that word Easter is. And I've crossed it out, and I've written Passover in my Bible, where that is. It appears one time in the scriptures. And Tammuz was worshipped as the Christ child. He was worshipped as the Christ child. And the worship of the cross comes literally from the worship of Tammuz, not from the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The worship of the cross has been ever since Babylon. And it has come down through all the ancient sects of worship, of ungodly worship. All of them have had a cross in their worship. So the cross is not something that came from Calvary. It originated and came from Babylon. I don't like the word Easter. Another thing, we have the bunny rabbits and the Easter eggs. Do you know where the bunny rabbit and the Easter eggs came from? Have you ever studied it? rebuke that in my throat. Anybody? Here. No sense. Anyway. the Easter bunny and the egg come from the goddess of fertility. Way back in ancient worship is where the Easter egg and the bunny rabbit come from. It's the worship of the goddess of fertility. And then we teach our children that that the rabbit brings the eggs, and we take it out and tell them about it. We are teaching them that to worship a heathen god. Now, I never knew all that. You know, I was Sunday school superintendent of a big church in California, and I had a big Easter egg hunt. And we had Easter bunnies on the up on the pulpit and gave them away to kids who brought the most to church that day and things like that. And I was just as bad. I was helping those kids serve a heathen god. But I was ignorant. Some of you are ignorant. You never heard this before. To what I'm telling you right now. But you need to study. You can find everything I'm telling you. Actually, you can find it in Encyclopedia Britannica. Especially in the old ones. Back before 1945. You can find a set of Encyclopedia Britannicas. It's all in there about Tammuz. It's in there about Esther. And the whole thing. It's all there. In the secular books. And we who profess to study the Word of the Lord don't know anything about it. So we need to study and understand these things.
Okay. I guess I've said enough.
And I'll shut up. It's time for Tommy to get up here. Give him the next hour and a half. And be still. Now, Irma was trying to was bothering me back there. So she was wanting me to tell you what Bill's been doing for the last, well, off and on almost ever since he'd been here, really. But you know, the weather, it rains and it freezes and does things like that. And when it freezes, you can't mix cement. You can, but it'll fall apart and the blocks will fall down and it'll fall. So, but he's been building this cabin down here. We call it a cabin. It's made out of cement blocks. You generally think of a cabin as being made out of wood, but we're building it fireproof out of cement blocks. And he's been working on that. And there's a drawing of it back there in the back. And there are some of you here who have given $2,000-$3,000, or you're sitting in this audience, towards the construction of that building. And you are sowing and have sowed into the kingdom here at the campground. And we want to thank you for it. We appreciate it. I'm not going to call you out publicly, because that's, God will give you the praise and the glory, but I'm letting you know that we appreciate you and that we thank you for it, because if it weren't for some of you doing that, we wouldn't have any money for Bill to work down there on that, because we're not going to go borrow any. I'll tell you that. This place is free and clear, and I couldn't go borrow it if I wanted to unless the board approved it.
We have aboard of the campground Jack Harris, Colonel Speed Wilson, Dr. Bill Null, our son, and Irma and I are the board of Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, and if anything like that, if we took a step like that, we would have to have an approval of the board to do that, but we do not intend to ever do that. This place is free and clear. God supplied and took care of it, and we intend to keep it that way. And so when Doc gets up here and ministers, he's part of the overseer of this place, and he's ministering for the good of the Lord as well as the good of the campground. So we appreciate that. And we appreciate those of you who have supplied and are supplying the finances so that it will have this one. We hope eventually to build more than one, but they will each have 8 bedrooms and private baths. There will be 8 bedrooms and 8 baths. And they will be floor level. There will be no staircases. Floor 1 faces the water. Floor 2 will face this way. Both floors will be ground level. And they will be the same. Those of you who use the rooms back that's in the building here, they will be the same as the rooms that are here. They'll have a chest of drawers. We hope to put a small desk in them. They have a chest of drawers. They'll have a bunk bed and a full bed in each room, so that anyway, Bill's working on it, and Curtis is helping him. I don't know where Curtis is at around here. Curtis is helping, and the rest of us help when we don't have something else to do. Well, we go down and help too. Most of my help is walking around and seeing what they're doing, but they're getting ready for me to fill in and grade, get the dozer and grade and fill in around it and put fill in. Well, shut up, Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.